It's this week's edition of Teach Me What You Know. Last week, we learned how to cope with empty nest syndrome when kids go off to college.
These days, a lot of people are moving away from their cable TV subscriptions, but still want to watch their favorite movies and shows. WPR technology guy Kevin Trueblood walks us through some options. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to how to disconnect from TV, why are people doing this right now?
Well, when you think about it, it's easy to spend $75, $80, $100 on a bunch of channels that you may or may not be watching. When you break it down, you're maybe watching a couple of channels or maybe just a couple of shows, and the rest of them you're not watching. So why would you pay $100 a month for it?
I think people have felt that way for a while, but there haven't been the options available to make it a viable thing to do unless you wanted to go super low tech and, you know, have no TV. But are there more options now if people want to get rid of their cable?
Well, that's the growing trend in the last couple of years. In fact, in the last 2 years, cable subscription numbers have been going down. And some are suggesting that 2012 may have been the year that cable subscriptions peaked. So what we're seeing are a lot more people that are abandoning cable services in favor of internet streaming services or just going old school, as it were, and putting up an antenna.
Right. So people aren't wanting to give up TV necessarily. This isn't going cold turkey, for instance. We can still watch cool stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a couple of different options that you have. One of them being, like I said, you can put up an antenna, or you can find some of the same shows or series that you were watching from streaming services. And there's a number of different ones available.
So antennas from my day when I was a kid were these, you know, giant contraptions on top of a giant big wide box. Now you've got flat screens. How does an antenna work with a flat screen?
Well, not much different, actually. You can get as elaborate as you want to with them. If you're far away from a major city center, then you'll probably want to have one on the roof for best reliability. But they've kind of made them a little bit more, I don't know, designer, more flashy. They've made them in these attractive, sleek boxes and things like that that make them look a little prettier. But the concept isn't much different. You still have to orient it in the correct direction. And, you know, if it rains, it might cut out or something like that. But the nice thing is that there are services that will help you maximize your signal. There's a couple of free websites, one being TVFool.com and the other one being AntennaWeb.org. And you can actually enter your address in, and it'll tell you where to put your antenna, in what direction, and what you should be able to receive.
Well, that's helpful. That takes it to a whole new level rather than banging on your TV and just randomly fooling with the wires.
Right. Well, and the other nice thing is with over-the-air broadcasting, it's changed a lot in 20 years since maybe you just got the three big networks. Now those same three channels that were once transmitting in a city now have the ability to what's called multicast, which means you can receive more than one station on that channel. So instead of just one, you can get 3, 4, sometimes 5 and 6. So I counted this morning, like in a city like Madison, you with an antenna, you can actually get 17 channels just from a free antenna. And a city like Milwaukee, you can get over 30. So there's a lot of different options just from plugging in a piece of wire into your antenna or into your television.
So that's not so bad, given that it's sort of old school technologies, just hooking up an antenna to your TV. But what about newfangled options?
Well, there's a lot of different options, and there are more being released every day. There's things like smart TVs that have built-in apps. Some of the more popular appliances that are being sold these days are boxes like a Roku box or what's called Chromecast, which is made by Google. And what those allow you to do is they kind of help index and organize all the different streaming options that are available. So if you want to subscribe to Netflix, if you want to subscribe to Hulu or Amazon Prime, which are the major streaming services, they kind of help organize that into those one single box. So it's like, so if you want to sit down and watch Netflix, you push one button. If you want to watch Hulu, you watch another. And then all the options that are there for you, the different shows and movies that you can watch there. With Roku, it seems to be more robust as far as partnering with other services like Major League Baseball or other streaming services to help organize them into one spot. So if you subscribe to a sports package or if you subscribe to this entertainment package, they put that into that box for you.
So you mentioned Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime. Can you talk a little bit about what's different about those services? Because that's one question people have when they go this route is you may not want to subscribe to all of them.
Right. But the mindset being that each of those subscriptions, Netflix is $8, $9 a month. Hulu is, you know, 10 some dollars a month. And so what you get is significantly cheaper than what you're paying for cable. Now, your options, I don't consider them to be less. I consider them to be kind of different when you think about it. Now, on Hulu, obviously, that's a lot of content that's being offered on broadcast or network television. But if you're subscribing to Netflix, there's a lot of documentaries and a lot of movies you might not have thought of that are available to watch that you wouldn't have otherwise paid attention to if you were just endlessly flipping through cable channels. So they all have a whole wide array of content that may be the same or maybe slightly different than what you're seeing currently on broadcast and network television.
Now, what about getting channels a la carte? Is that possible?
Through the streaming services?
Through any provider right now, because that's something that people have wanted for a long time, even with traditional cable, that they could select the specific channel.
Right.
How close can we get to that?
Well, with cable and satellite, a la carte is not practical. And I say that because, you know, you think of somebody who goes to a restaurant and just wants to order a salad. That's all they want. And the salad's $10. You have a great meal. But most people, when it comes to like cable subscriptions, want to have a salad, a drink, and some bread to go with it. Well, the problem is that collectively, everybody pays into this pool that pays for the content. And so all the channels become cheaper for everybody instead of just paying for just the one. So if you wanted just ESPN, you'd be paying $20 a month for just ESPN and then $10 more for other channels, whereas opposed to for $40 a month, you can get 100 channels, including ESPN. So collectively, you know, it sounds wonderful for the consumer, but as a pricing model, it may not be practical. What is more, I think, going to happen or at least what is probably more practical is being able to subscribe to those individual services on the internet. And ESPN does have a kind of a subscription service, and so do some of the other channels that you can subscribe to get some of that content that they're offering on their channels. But for cable, I don't think that's probably going to happen.
What if we want to watch, you know, the Packers game, the World Cup, baseball? How do we do that when we've got one of these other services and we're unplugged from cable?
That is probably the biggest difficulty that a lot of cord cutters face when it comes to giving up their cord is trying to find live sports. And the reality is that it isn't easy. For Packers, the advantage is that a lot of their games are on broadcast television, so you shouldn't have any problem seeing them. NFL at least has a subscription service, but unfortunately, you can't watch the game until after it's over. And a lot of other services are the same way. Now, that's fine if you can totally avoid social media and learn how the game, you know, ends. But there are fewer options for that. There are some available. There are some streaming services, but a lot of them are paid. Like, you can subscribe to an entire MLB season. But, you know, that can get expensive. And again, are you paying for a bunch of things you don't want just so you can watch a Brewers game? Do you really want to watch every game that exists? So they do exist, but it is a little bit more challenging. And what a lot of people have done is just look at the more social approach. And what you're saving and not paying $100 a month for cable, you can go to the local brew pub and buy a beer and a burger and watch the game with your friends.
Right. So there's that old school option again. You can just go down to the bar, sports bar, and watch a game on TV. Do you get the sense that this is a sea change that we've seen, people cutting the cord, or do you think it's a trend and people might end up going back to traditional cable?
I think it is a trend. Like I said, we're seeing subscription numbers on cable slowly come down. There's still tons and tons and tons of subscriptions, but there's also a growing trend of what are called, cord nevers, which are a younger generation of people that have never had cable and are used to getting all their content from the internet. And so they don't see the point in subscribing to it because they've always had what they want. That's what they're used to. And so as those people get older, as we see college students, you know, get out of college and move into apartments, much like how wired telephones are kind of getting less and less popular, you're probably going to start seeing more of that too.
Great. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for getting us up to speed.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
That was Kevin Trueblood, one of our technology experts here at Wisconsin Public Radio.